only New Life Church, but also Toledo Community Church. We have here the former mayor of Toledo, yeah, by the Red Cross, and also the First Lady, and today is her birthday. And, you know, we are so privileged that we have counterparts in the U.S. And again, I am saying this to encourage everybody to partner with us in the Lord's work. Because we are not building our own kingdom, but we are only building God's kingdom. And everybody is part of what God is doing, might be in the Philippines or around the globe. And what a humbling experience to be in the house of the Lord this morning to serve the people of God. You know, just recently we opened a work in Macau, China. And we are looking forward that someday God will open our way in South Korea, because prior to our coming here, we dropped by in Korea for 5 days and we ministered to our co-people and we ministered to the Korean churches in Korea. And the very point is, God is sending us in many, many places, not only in our country, but also in other countries of the world. Like what Barbara is sharing us this morning, that even my wife is, you know, they invite some churches in Africa is inviting my wife to go and minister there, although she is seemingly hesitant to accept the offer. But who knows? God is the one who opens doors and opportunities to minister to different countries of the world. So there in the Philippines, I learned how to make a command. But here in the U.S., I learned how to obey. Because Bob told me that, can you do the communion? And I told him, yes, I will be gladly in pleasure to officiate the Holy Communion. And I just want to remind us two things this morning regarding the Holy Communion, because sometimes we do communion as ordinary part of our worship service every Sunday. But rediscovering the Holy Communion, there are two things we need to learn. First, Holy Communion is both a remembrance and a celebration. Because there's no such use of commemorating or remembering the death without the victory of the death of Christ on the cross. So it's both a remembrance and a celebration. And not only that, there are simple truths embodied in the Holy Communion before taking the bread and the cup. Because number one is the fact that in communion, there is a preparation. So it's not just an ordinary part of our worship service, but the fact that in communion, there is a preparation. What kind of preparation are we going to do as far as the body of Christ is concerned? Of course, we need to prepare ourselves, our hearts, by seeking what's in our mind, what's in our hearts, by asking forgiveness to the Lord. So that's the kind of preparation we need to do. And then the second thing is that the fact that in communion, not only that there's a preparation, but there's a new covenant and commandment. There's a new covenant in taking Holy Communion. Wherever you eat this bread and drink this cup, the covenant is this. You need to proclaim the death of Jesus Christ. So evangelism is related to what we are doing today, Holy Communion. See, if only Christians would understand the meaning of Holy Communion, not just a part of our worship service, but whenever you eat the bread and drink the cup, there's a commandment that we need to proclaim the death of Jesus Christ until He comes. So there's a relationship between what we are doing in the country and what the Bible is teaching us in Holy Communion. Now in verse Corinthians chapter 11, it says like this, as we are preparing ourselves for the Holy Communion, in verse 23, for I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this wherever you drink in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So not only remembering the death of Jesus Christ, but also carrying the burden of proclaiming his death, his resurrection, not only inside the church, but especially outside the church. So this morning, brothers and sisters, as we are going to have this communion, it says in verse 27, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup." Failure to examine, failure to prepare ourselves, failure to proclaim the death of our Lord Jesus Christ will result in verse 28, "A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup, for anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, in a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we judge ourselves, we would not come under judgment." Blessing comes after recognizing what is the meaning of the bread, which is the body of Christ, and the meaning of the cup, which symbolizes the blood of Christ. Amen. So shall we all arise, please, as we do the communion. I don't know, the ushers, please come and distribute the bread and the cup. Let's receive the bread and the cup prayerfully, summoning our 1 Corinthians 11, verse 20 says, "For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's eat the bread. "In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this wherever you drink in remembrance of me.'" Let's drink the cup. Okay. Hallelujah. So if you had your Bibles with you, please turn with me in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Welcome now to the mass this morning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 to 58. So this will be the very foundation of our message this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning from verse 57 to 58, says like this: "But thanks be to God, he gave us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Let me repeat verse 58. It says, "Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." So the title of the message this morning is Standing Firm in the Test of Time. How a church, how an individual believers or Christians can stand firm or strong in the test of time. Because I believe just by watching news on television or by reading newspapers or in the internet, what is happening around the globe now are just a prelude of what happens in the near future. As the message of the songs and even verses that are being read earlier about the coming of the Lord. And just recently in our country, in between July 25 to 27, there's a prediction coming from geologists that there's a 7.5 to 8.2 magnitude earthquake that will happen in between July 25 to July 25 to July 27. That by just a matter of a 30-second quake, millions of Filipinos, especially in Metro Manila, will die. And so people panic, and there are even some people who leave their homes in Metro Manila and went to the provinces because they fear of their lives. And not only in the Philippines, but I believe that even in other countries around the globe, there is present shaking that is happening now. It might be politically, economically, morally, socially, and also spiritually. In fact, these things that is happening around the globe now will not surprise us as believers in Christ. Because long before it happens, the Bible predicts us in Haggai chapter 2. If you read your Bibles in Haggai chapter 2, verse 6 to 9, the Lord says through Haggai, this is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the seas and the dry land. I will shake all nations, excluding America or excluding Philippines. No. Because they are part of all the nations of the world. I will shake all nations. All nations and desires of all in the nation and the desires of all nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver are mine, the gold are mine, declares the Lord Almighty. And the glory of this present house will be greater than the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord. So what's happening around the globe now are just fulfillment of the prophecy. Long before it happened. In fact, some preachers are telling us that we are now living not only in the last days, but we are now living in the last days. We're not only living in the last days, but we are now living in the last days. Because if you read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 18, Paul listed 18 characteristics of the last days. And one of these, in the number one on the list of Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 5, as far as the characteristics of the last days is concerned, is that people will be lovers of themselves. Long before this high-tech gadget we are having in our hands, long before it was invented, Paul saw already that in the last days, it will happen. That's the very reason why early in the morning, maybe as early as 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the morning, you're holding your gadget and making, you know, taking picture of yourself, you know, posting it in Facebook, selfie. What does it mean? People will be lovers of themselves. See? The word selfie is a fulfillment of what Paul is saying us in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1 to 5. And even the brand of our gadgets, iPhone, iPad, iMac, it's all I. See? It's all I. So prophecies are being fulfilled in the last days. That means we are now approaching the finality of everything. The coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So there's an ongoing shaking. Every places in the world, politically, economically, morally, socially, and spiritually. I think that was a month ago when all the churches in the U.S. had been shaken because of the decision of your Supreme Court regarding same-sex marriage. I think that's what's happening in the U.S. So there's a spiritual shaking among churches. And even in Psalms chapter 11, verse 3, because most of the time when shaking happens around the globe, we try to blame the leaders of our society. We blame our leaders in the government. But looking at Psalms chapter 11, verse 3 says, if the foundations were destroyed, what will the righteous do? So as part of the churches of today, as believers, we have part in what is happening around the world. That's why not all hands should be pointed to the government officials. But the church himself had a major role to play as far as what is happening around us is concerned. Remember one time when God decided to destroy that city of Sodom and Gomorrah? Here comes a man by the name of Abraham, making intercession, Lord, If there's 50 righteous in the city, are you going to destroy these two cities of Sodom and Gomorrah? And then what's the Lord's answer to Abraham? Because of the 50 righteous, I will spare both cities. But there's no 50 righteous in the city. And then here comes Abraham, Lord, if there's 40 righteous in the city, are you going to destroy the people? Because of the 40, because of the 30, because of the 20, I will spare the city. So the point here is, not all blames goes to the government, not all blames goes to the leaders, but we ourselves as individual believers have a vital role to play in the solution of what is happening around us today. If the foundations were destroyed, what will the righteous do? In fact, there are three major institutions God instituted in the Bible. First is family. God created men and a woman, male and female, and He commanded them to go and multiply. But what is happening now? As far as families is concerned, the foundations of the families are being shaken. So we have this so-called same-sex marriage. We have lots of broken families, you know, because the foundations are being destroyed. The second institution founded by God in the Bible is not only family, but also government. There are lots of government before founded by Christian forefathers, but now they begin to collapse. And even accepting the fact that such countries are no longer a Christian country. In fact, even in our country, we call ourselves the only Christian country in the Far East. But how come that out of 100 million population of our country, the latest statistic says that we only had 19 to 21% Christians? That means our country is more religious than being a Christian. Because Filipinos have a narrow concept as far as Christianity is concerned. To let you know that we have a narrow concept as far as Christianity is concerned. Because if you are not a Muslim, then automatically you become Christian. That's how we understood Christianity in the Philippines. But it's not. So only 19 to 21% out of 100 million. So the government begins to collapse. And of course, the number three institution founded by God in the Bible is the church. Upon this rock I will build my church, and even the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But the foundations of many churches are being shaken today because of moral descendancy, corrupt teachings. Many are being discouraged, whereas we have the promise of God that upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So in the midst of all this kind of shakings, it might be politically, economically, morally, socially, especially spiritually, it is a challenge for us, church. It's a challenge for us individual believers to stand strong or stand firm in the test of time, because I believe that we are in the process of testing. It might be corporately. It might be individually. We are in the process of testings. And Christianity does not exempt somebody from facing negative circumstances. I believe that if Christianity exempts somebody from facing negative circumstances, I believe that there will be not enough room to accommodate all the people in the city. I believe that every American will be saved if Christianity will exempt somebody from facing negative circumstances. Yet the common denominator is that we are facing every testing in our time. Standing firm. So it's a challenge for the churches. It's a challenge for every believer to stand firm in the test of time. That's what our text is telling us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 to 58. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm and let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So what's the purpose of shaking?
Number one, of course, the purpose of shaking, why God allows shaking, is that to wake us up as church, as believers, and as Christians. Not only that He wants us to wake up, but also for a greater glory. For a greater glory, according to Haggai chapter 2, verse 6 to 9. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the latter house. So, not only that we need to consider the negative side of shaking, but also on the positive side. As Christians, we need to declare positive things. Remember in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, and darkness was upon the face of the earth. That's the negative circumstances. And darkness was upon the face of the earth. But God Himself made a declaration on the positive side. Let there be light, and there was light. So not only that we need to consider the negative side of it, but also the positive side of it. In fact, Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, for all things work together for good. So what is happening now around us, God can turn it into a positive thing. For all things work together for good. Okay? That's why as Christians, we need to stand firm in the test of time. And how could we do this? Of course, number one, we need to consider in verse 57, but thanks be to God, He gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the very secret for a church or for an individual believer that he can stand strong in the test of time is because we have the assurance of victory. Thanks be to God. He gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, 31 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Romans chapter 8, verse 37 says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. And Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yes, I am suffering right now, but thanks be to God, I have victory through our Lord Jesus. Yes, maybe I am weak today. I am in my lowest and my weakest point in my spiritual life. But thanks be to God, we have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I may be in pain today. I'm in sickness today. But thanks be to God, He assured us that kind of victory. So you and I can stand firm in the test of time. No matter what kind of negative circumstances we are experiencing today, thanks be to God, we have the victory in that we can stand firm in the test of time. Now considering verse 58 says, stand firm, let nothing move. I remember one time in Daniel chapter 3, Daniel chapter 3, verse 4 to 30, where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego faces the greatest testing of their time. If you read your Bible in Daniel chapter 3, it's a test of their faith, a test of their trust and loyalty to the one true God. But what makes them stand strong in their testing? In Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 and 18 says, number one, while they stand strong in the test of time, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is that they know who they are. If you read your Bible in Daniel chapter 3, because there's a decree made by King Nebuchadnezzar that whenever they hear all these musical instruments, trumpets, and other musical instruments, all the people, wherever you are, you need to bow down or kneel down in respect to that golden image erected by, built by King Nebuchadnezzar. But here comes Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, standing firm. They know that it may result on their death, but here comes this three Hebrew children. What makes them stand strong in the test of time? Of course, they know who they are. So a certain believer, if Christians knows only who they are, because we have our own identity, right? We have our own identity. Look at the mirror once in a while. Tell to yourself, you have an identity. We are sons and daughters of the living God. We're not just an ordinary person. We're not just an ordinary boy, ordinary girl, or son of ordinary man, but we have our identity. We are sons and daughters of the living God. We have our own, we have our Heavenly Father. We are so blessed. Not everybody are blessed. Not even the richest people on earth are not blessed. Not every wealthy people are blessed. Because I've known so many wealthy people, but still they cannot sleep during nighttime. They have lots of food on the table, but they lose their appetite. No peace, no joy in their heart. So they're not blessed. What shall a profit a man if he gain the world, but loses his own soul? So the greatest possession a man and a woman may possess is what is that Christ in his life. What shall a profit a man if he gain the world, but loses his own soul? So not every rich people, not all rich people are being blessed by God. We Christians, we are blessed. Amen? We are blessed. Like what Brother Bob is telling us, that it's not that easy to travel, you know, as you need lots of money to, you know, to spend, airfare and everything. But God is so gracious. Paul declares, but my God shall supply not just small needs, not just some needs, but my God shall supply all our needs according to his riches, not according to how much money I have in the bank, how much money I have on my ATM card. People are saying that we are now approaching the time we're in. We will be living in a cashless society. Cashless society. In fact, in the Philippines, many years ago, we're already living in a cashless society. Why? Because we don't have cash. That's why we are living in a cashless society, because we don't have cash. But we have the grace of God. Amen. We have the grace of God. So it's all by grace that we are traveling, you know, in many places, proclaiming the gospel of Christ. So I would rather rely on the grace of God than on my ATM card, than on my money at the bank. Yes, it's good to have money at the bank. It's good to have ATM cards. But as Christians, we need to rely on God. It's all by grace that we have all this. In fact, it's easy sometimes to praise the Lord when every blessings you need are in your hands, you know. But how about when blessings diminish? It's easy to praise the Lord when you have all the money you need in your pocket. But how about it? You don't have. But look at what Job is telling us in Job chapter 1, verse 21. The Lord gives, the Lord takes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So the first part of the verse is the Lord gives. When all the blessings we need is in our hands. When all the money we need is in our pocket, in our bag, in our wallet. But take note, the second part, the Lord takes. When there's no more money in your bank account, are you still gonna praise the Lord? Maybe when you have the money, praise the Lord. But if you don't have money, but the Lord gives, the Lord takes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. With or without blessings, praise the Lord. With or without money, praise the Lord. With or without food, praise the Lord. That's the attitude of Job. And that's the most expensive kind of worship ever. The Lord gives, the Lord takes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were able to stand firm in the test of time. Why? Because they know who they are. And the second thing is that they know who God is. Because our God is able. We will not bow down, king. Know ye king. Because they were given second chance to live. Okay. King Nebuchadnezzar told them, okay, you listen, if you hear all these noises, you hear this, all these musical instruments, you are given chance to live by bowing down. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king, no need to explain, King Nebuchadnezzar, because our God is able. Knowing God intellectually is different from knowing God experientially. Knowing Christ intellectually is different from knowing Christ experientially. But here comes Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They know who God is. Our God is able. We need to know who our God is. That our God is able in times of our sicknesses, God is able to heal us. In times of our needs, God is able to provide our needs, our Jehovah Jireh. In times of our troubles, God is our peace. In time of our distress, in times wherein we cry a lot, God is our joy. So you need to know and understand who God is, and God is able. And then the number three secret why they stand firm, not only that they know who they are, not only that they know who God is, but they are sold out and committed to the Lord. Even King, if God will not save us from the furnace, still we will not bow down to the golden image. Wow, what a declaration. I don't know if you can do that. Pressure, sufferings, trials, persecutions. But here comes Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Even it will result to their death. Know ye, King, that even if our God will not save us from the furnace, we will not bow down to the golden image. Standing firm in the test of time. God is looking for modern Shadrach, modern Meshach, and Abednego, who will proclaim in the midst of their trials and sufferings, even if it will result to their death, people who will be proclaiming that even God
will not spare us from the furnace, we will not bow down to that golden image. Not only Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Jumping in chapter 6, we have Daniel facing the greatest trial of his faith because he was one of the president before in Babylon during the time of King Darius. And then all these other officials made a decree, asked the King Darius to sign. And what happens in Daniel chapter 6 verse 10, when Daniel found out that the writings had been signed by the king, what did he do? He opened the windows towards Jerusalem and knelt down and prayed to the God of heaven 3 times so we can stand firm in the test of time when we will lose our knees. A Christian, a church, a believer who is prayerful can stand firm in the test of time. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. Again, as church, as believers, we have a vital role to play in the solutions of all the problems happening around us. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14 says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. He's talking to the believers. He's talking to churches. He's talking to Christians. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I, the Lord from heaven, forgive their sins and heal their land. He's not asking the, you know, he's not talking to ordinary people, he's not talking to government officials, but if my people, which are called by my name. So if we recognize ourselves as the people of God, then our responsibility is to humble ourselves, seek the face of God, turn from our wicked ways, then I, the Lord from heaven, forgive their sin. What happens next? And I will heal their land. I will heal their land. So the purpose of shaking now is just to wake up the churches, wake up the believers, wake up the Christians. And I believe that even Haggai chapter 2, verse 6 and 9, the last part of it, that greater glory shall come to the house. There's an approaching revival that will happen around the globe. Because I believe that God, that Christ will return, not for a weak church. No. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 up to 27. Christ will come for a church that is strong, without spot, and without wrinkle. That's one of the purpose why God is shaking churches today, making it stronger, making it holier. This is the purpose of shaking. So, brothers and sisters in the Lord, it's both a challenge for us and an encouragement to stay strong. Whatever negative circumstances we are facing in today, yes, we know that God is able. In times of our trouble, in times of our sickness, in times of our pain, in times of our needs, in times of our weaknesses, in whatever circumstances we are facing in today, God is able. So this will lead us into that time wherein we can stand strong in the test of our time. They were committed. They were dedicated. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Even if he does not, we will not bow down. And of course, they have their focus. What is our focus? Our focus is but just temporary. But our focus is heavenly work. Because whether we like it or not, brothers and sisters, this is not our final home. I don't know if you are satisfied with the kind of house you have now. We're just passing through. We're just temporary. We're just living here temporarily. And this is not our final home. Our final home is in heaven. Amen. Our final home is in heaven. Yeah, we wish to have a big mansion here on earth. We wish to have everything on earth. But sometimes it doesn't come easy as we think. But the good news is we have a better place. Amen. We have a big mansion up there prepared by God himself. John chapter 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. We long to have a mansion here. But which is bigger? Which is bigger, house or mansion? Maybe 90% will answer, yes, of course, mansion is bigger than house. But look at your Bible in John chapter 14, verse 1. In my Father's house are many mansions. So better wish to have a house than a mansion. Mansion is just a room in God's house. So I have a mansion, Brother Bob. I have a mansion. I just pray that in heaven we're all neighbors. Amen. Amen. So we can stand strong in the test of time. So in conclusion, Daniel prayed 3 times a day. And God is looking for modern Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Modern Daniel facing the greatest challenge on testing of their time, at the top of their faith, loyal to and trust to God, but still they remain faithful and strong in the Lord. Brothers and sisters, today, are you in the test of time? Remember, we can stand firm. Paul says in closing, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I commit unto him against that day. Whatever circumstances you are facing in today, remember, it's a challenge for you to stand for. Because what is happening now are just temporal, and God is able to deliver us. God is able to strengthen us. God is able to save us. And God is able to stand strong in the test of time. According to Paul in 1 Corinthians says,
But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord because you know that you labor in the Lord. So I just pray this morning that God will continue to protect you, to be with you in whatever circumstances we are facing. Father, in the name of Jesus, you know who we are in your sight. Yes, we have so many testings. Some of us are suffering. Some of us are facing the greatest testing in our life. But Lord, we thank you for your word this morning that we have the assurance of victory to our Lord Jesus Christ. That we can stand firm in the test of time. Only if we know who we are. Only if we know who you are as our God. That in times, Lord God, wherein we are weak, you are there to strengthen us. In times of our sorrows, you are there to give us joy. In times of our needs, you are our Jehovah Jireh. In times of our sicknesses, you are our Jehovah Rapha. Lord, we declare this morning that you are our God and you are able, Father. So I just pray for your special protection be upon your people this morning. And I just pray for the ministry here, Lord God, this church. Thank you, Lord, for the life of our leaders, of our pastors, and our workers, and every members. Lord, I just pray for your special blessing be upon each and everyone and every family that being represented here today. Father, we thank you for your word. We give you praise, give you honor, and we give you glory. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.